the resurrection that we waited for. You buried the night and came in the morning. You're the King of heaven. Yeah, the praise is yours. The longer the quiet, the louder the chorus.
Song, 'cause death is dead and gone with the winter. say that this morning? Praise the Lord. I enjoyed every one of those songs. Amen. Just so wonderful. Praise the Lord for all that He's done for us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Just appreciate everything the Lord does for us. We have a Bible this morning open up to John, St. John, chapter 7. Here with us today. She was another one of those people very pivotal in my upbringing. So, we can talk about that. I'm just getting a little bit choked up. Amen. Always do what you can for those around you. Amen. Especially the young people. John chapter 7, verse 1. I'm going to title this today, The Secret Coming of the Lord. Amen. How many knows that the Lord has secret coming?
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to talk about that. St. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for He would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand, and the following. Remind you that the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles is the last feast of the year. It's the last week of the Feast of the Cycles. After all the atonement was taken place and Israel's sins were forgiven and they could now rejoice in the presence of the Lord, that was the Feast of Tabernacles. So, His brethren therefore said unto Him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see thy works that thou dost. For there is no man that doth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world, for neither his brethren believed in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. When He had said these words unto him, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. She'll have it on the screen here. I have several scriptures to read here in the opening. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. All right? Every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then one more passage of scripture of Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21. I'll give you just a moment to find that one. Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. See, we've already crowned him. We've already crowned him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? At this coming, we've already done it. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth down the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel stand in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, where swords proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with his flesh, or with their flesh. Let's bow our hearts to him now. Lord, as we have just read from your holy word, and God, we know it doesn't lay within a man to break the bread of life, but Lord, that it lays within you and you alone. So, Lord, this morning, as your people, we gather here in your name, and we trust, Lord, that you are here. You promised to be. We know you are. We've already experienced that. But we pray, God, that you'd now take this word and break it to your people. Feed your lambs, Lord, this morning. Touch each one. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Secret coming of the Lord. Amen. You pull on the word. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, everything will come to pass. If you're like me, you get to talk to people and you talk about the things of the Word of God and talk about the thing coming to pass, and people have their ideas. But you know, everything's going to unfold just exactly the way the Word says. Amen. Just exactly the way the Bible has said it, because it is God's Word. Right. His Word is perfect. It doesn't fail in it. So it doesn't matter what man thinks, what their ideas are, but he must always come back to God's Word, and we know it'll happen just exactly that way. God has a specific plan.
Right.
It's this thing, you know, you hear me say it all the time, but you know, it's not just drifting along. God knew his plan so well that he knew exactly who would accept his grace and his gospel and who would not.
Right.
To such a degree that he could write the names of those who would accept it in what is called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the scripture told us that he wrote those before the foundation of the world.
Right.
Amen? Now that's how big God is. God can do those kinds of things. As I say all the time, let's not limit God to what man's limits are. Let's let God be God.
Right.
Right? And so let's let him do what he wants to do and appear and come and do the things the way he wants to do it. And so he has a specific plan, and it's not just statistics. Some of my family were talking the other night, and we were talking about how vast all the stars and everything are out there. And my uncle said, well, he said, you know, statistically, because there's billions of galaxies, our galaxy alone is, I don't know how many thousands of light years across, and there's a guy at work that does astrophotography. And he took a picture, and it was just crazy. The galaxies. He was looking at one certain one, and there were just more and more. And as far as you could zoom in, there were spiral galaxies way off in the just. And we were talking about, and my uncle said, you know, statistically, with that many stars and that many galaxies, statistics says that there's other planets, there's other peoples, there's other life out there.
Right.
And I said, yeah. And he agreed with me. I said, yeah, but God doesn't work off of statistics. Right? Yeah. Right?
Right?
So, you know, statistics, if this room was full of pennies or coins or whatever, and you'd find a dime in here, you know, statistically you could analyze and say, well, based on the size of this room, there should be X number of dimes among all these pennies. Mm-hmm. But that would only be true if it was just random.
Right. Yeah.
But if somebody specifically placed in this room exactly pennies and only one dime,
right,
Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? Right. So God has a specific plan. He knows exactly what he's doing and how this is unfolding. We're sitting here just trying to figure it out, and that's what man does. And the worst thing man can do is try to figure out himself.
Yeah.
Right? Because these things are spiritually discerned by the Spirit of God only. So we know that. We believe that.
Yeah.
So, you know, most of you, a lot of you know this. There's three comings of the Lord. It's actually more than that if you really want to dig into it. He's always been coming. Because he's always been revealing himself as he would come. And now that he came 2,000 years ago, he's still revealing how he's coming.
Right.
Right? And so, but for us, for our sake, and for this discussion this morning, there's three comings. He came 2,000 years ago to die for his bride.
Right.
He comes this time to get his bride, to take her. Then he comes, as we just read there, just on the scriptures of Revelation. And then he comes with his bride, with his armies of heaven. Amen?
Amen?
And so, most of the people in the world, when they think about the coming of the Lord, they're thinking about when he's going to come, and he's going to judge the earth, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and what they call that the second coming in this discussion this morning, it's not. It's the third.
Right.
Because he comes his second time secretly.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, we can look at that and see, because we read there in Hebrews, it said, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." The first time he came, he was our sin sacrifice.
Right.
He took our sins. This time he comes without sin.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And so he comes this time, and the scripture said, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear." You know, I didn't pull it up, but there's another scripture that said, "Those who love his appearing."
Right.
Right? Now, the world has this idea about Jesus coming, and they're thinking about the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee.
Right.
That's what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. Right? And so, they're thinking of him coming in that way. But the scripture here said, "Unto those that look for him shall he appear." And so, if the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee appeared on this earth, everybody's looking for that. They all see that. You're right.
Right.
But the scriptures is telling us here, but those who are looking for him, those who are loving his appearing, because you know what? Every time I read this word, every time I come to the house of God and I listen to a sermon or I listen to a sermon on tape, he's appearing to me.
Right.
I love to see him in his word. I love to see him appear among his people when he heals somebody. He does that. I love those things. The whole world's not doing that.
Yeah.
Right? But there are a people on earth who love his appearing.
Yeah.
And that are looking for his coming. And it's speaking of a group of people that know what to look for.
Right.
Now I say that because we know that when he came here 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders didn't know who he was.
Right.
Like Brother Bram told us, you know, that one scripture there that said, there they crucified him. There, the most holy place in the world, Jerusalem, they, supposed to be the most holy people, and they were on our earth, there they crucified the worst death that could be. Him, the most wonderful and righteous person there ever was. Just that, condense all that truth condensed down in those four words. The religious people missed him. They should have known. If anybody should have recognized him, it should have been them. And they missed him. And of course, we know they had to. They had to miss him, because if they would have received him, they would not have crucified him. Therefore, we would not have had a sacrifice for our sins, and we'd still be dead in our sins and trespasses. So we know that, but it was God's great plan.
Right.
It was God's great plan to come hidden, come as a mystery, come in a way that his word could be fulfilled.
Right.
And so he came, and they didn't know him. And the reason why they didn't know him was because they had deviated from the word that had been given them in the Old Testament. They had added to that man's creeds and dogmas and man's ideas. And by the time he came exactly like the word said he would come, but they missed it because they were so wrapped up in man's teachings.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of, "Thus saith the Lord." And so that's how they missed him. And of course, God knew they would do that. If you read in the book of Isaiah, you know, It you know, strong meat belongs to those that are of full age, right?
Right.
And the scripture said in Isaiah, when Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up, and he was said, "Woe is me! I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And the Lord said, "Who'll go for me?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me, I'll go." And here's what God said to Isaiah the prophet. He's telling Isaiah, "Now you go and you prophesy this, and you make this make it come to pass by prophesying it." He said, "You go and make these people's ears dull of hearing and their eyes where they can't see, lest they could see and they could hear and believe, and I would heal them." And when Jesus come along and they were rejecting him, he said, "This is the coming to pass of what was spoken." Jesus said it because they asked him, they said, "Well, why do you speak to them in parables, but to us or your disciples you speak plainly?"
Right.
And he said, "Because it is given to you to know, but it's not given to them."
Right.
What? You mean God doesn't want everybody to know?
Right.
See, not everybody is God's children.
Right.
There's some that aren't. Though they be religious, and though they be the most religious people on the earth, if they're not his child, if they're not part on that book, I don't care how religious they are, if they weren't put on that Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation world, they'll never be there.
Right.
And if they're not there, they'll never catch it. They won't see it. They won't understand it. He'll come right in their midst exactly the way Scripture said he would come, and they won't see it. They'll see it as an enemy, because that's what they did then. They saw him as an enemy to their religious system. And they were jealous. Of course, that's what they did. They crucified him because of that. But the scripture tells us, unto them that look for him, he will appear.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Unto them. And so, he appears to some, but not others. You say, how does he do that? Well, because they're looking for the wrong thing. It was so interesting to me. I've said this many times that here Jesus is standing there in the synagogue, and he has a man with a withered hand, and he heals this man. You know, his hands comes, and the religious leaders are so wrapped up in their systems, and that he wasn't part of their religious system, that even though he could do something that they couldn't even think about doing, they still wanted to persecute
him. Right.
And so it just baffles my mind that they would be that way. So, you know, God is a master at hiding himself and at appearing to some and then hiding himself for others. And when he does that, as I've already alluded to this fact, when he does that, he has a purpose for doing that. There's a reason why God would appear to some and not to others. It's to fulfill his word, to bring it to pass. And so we go back in the scriptures and we know, we'll go through several examples real quick, but you know, when God came, when Abraham was there sitting in the tent door in the plains of Mamre, right? He was sitting there and God came to him. It was Elohim in a flesh body, and there were two angels with him. He came there, these beings, and of course Abraham, you know, had Sarah to make food for him real quick, and he washed their feet and all those sorts of things. But Abraham said, when those three came, Abraham said, "My Lord."
Right.
There's only one Lord to God's people. Right. He said, "My Lord." There was three of them, but he said, "My Lord."
Right.
Then when they left there, and then those two angels separated out, and they went down to Sodom, and they went down to Lot, which was kin to Abraham. And when Lot saw those two angels come, he said, "My Lords." More than one. He didn't recognize them, you know, because they weren't the Lord, but he said, "Lords." They said, "Lords." But Abraham said, when there was three, "My Lord." Abraham saw who he was, knew who he was. And of course, in that being standing there, he discerned the thoughts of Sarah's heart. And we understand how that all happened there. I didn't actually have her pulling up because it's rather lengthy, but I'll tell you, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 through 23. And this is a story where the Syrian king told his armies, his captains, he said, "Now, go to this certain place here to be an ambush or to attack Israel. And Elisha the prophet in Israel went to the king in Israel and said, hey, don't go to this certain place. Avoid this situation because the king of Syria is waiting on you there. And so avoided the conflict, whatever it was that happened there. And when that happened, the king of Syria got this idea. Said, you know what? Somebody in my cabinet, one of my generals is actually working for that king of Israel. Because somehow they knew that we were waiting for them. We were there at that spot. And so he was convinced that one of his own soldiers, one of his own generals perhaps, was working against him. And so he called them all in and he said, will you not tell me who it is among us that is working for the king of Israel? Right. And they said to him, they said, not so. It's not that. It's just that in Israel there's a prophet named Elisha. And that prophet tells the king of Israel what you talk about secretly in your bedchamber. Because he's a prophet of God.
Right.
Said, go get that guy. And if you get him, then they won't know what we're doing.
Right.
And so they sent this army there, and they were all gathered around, and Elisha the prophet and his servant Gehazi was there at Dothan. And these armies come there, and they all sneak up and gather there in the middle of the night. And so when Elisha the prophet, his servant, gets out of bed in the morning, he gets up and he goes out and he sees all this multitude of Syrian army there. And of course you would be afraid. And he came to Elisha and said, my Lord, they're just everywhere out there. And Elisha, the prophet, said, well, there's more with us than there is with them.
Right.
Well, his servant said, I don't see nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? Elisha could see something that the servant could not see. And so Elisha prayed and said, God, open up his eyes so he can see. And God opened Gehazi's eyes, and he looked and he saw chariots of fire and horses of fire, and they were all just multitude of heavenly hosts there that was much greater than the Syrian army.
Right?
Right? See, God can let things appear to some and not to others.
Right.
And so in that case there, to Elisha, now they were there to take Elisha captive. They were there to kill him, perhaps. That's who they came for. And Elisha walks out to that army of Syrian soldiers and says, are you looking for Elisha? And they said, yeah. They didn't even know it was him. He said, yeah, we're looking for Elisha. He said, follow me and I'll take you to him. And he led that Syrian army right into the midst of the army of Israel to be taken captive. And of course, when they got there, then their eyes was open and they realized it. So you see, they were blinded. People can be blind until God opens their eyes.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, God did that. And so I think the king of Israel said, shall we kill him? And he said, no, don't kill him. Feed him. So he fed all the Syrian army. See, scriptures tell you do good to those that do evil to you, right?
Yeah.
They fed them, and the scripture said when the Syrian army went back home, they never bothered them again.
Right.
Right?
You see, if you just let God work through your life, you got enemies, God can take care of that.
Sure.
Right? They might become your best friend before it's over with, the way God works.
Yeah.
So we know that God can do those things. So Elisha, he could see all those chariots and so forth and fire, and his servant could not. We know that scripture tells us that John the Baptist could see the Spirit of God descending like in the form of a dove and lighting upon Jesus, but others didn't see that. We know in the scriptures there were two after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There were two walking to Emmaus. And they were sad because Jesus had been crucified.
Right.
And Jesus came up beside them, and they didn't know it was him. He was in another form. And he was speaking to them and began to talk to them and said, why is your countenance so like it is? And they said, are you a stranger? Don't you know? He's talking to him, right? Don't you know what happened here, that this Jesus of Nazareth, we thought it was going to be him that would set us all free? And don't you know? And the scripture said that Jesus, in this other form, they didn't know it was him, he began to speak to them, and he went back in the scriptures, and he said to them, who were sad at what had come to pass, they should have known, he said to them, "Fools and slow of heart, ought not Christ to have suffered everything that was written of him?" Everything that said was going to come to pass, oughtn't it to have been that way? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he began to expound the scriptures to them and show them in the scriptures that what had come to pass in their day was exactly what God said would come, and they were missing it.
Right.
And they walked together for probably about 6 hours or something like that. It began to be nightfall, and Jesus acted like when they got to their house, he acted as though he was going to go on and keep walking. And they said to him, come here, it's nightfall, come in. Mm-hmm. Right? Remember the last church age, Laodicea, standing at the door knocking and said, "I'll come in, I'll sup with you." That's the last meal of the day.
Right.
They asked him, "Come in and sup with us." Mm-hmm. And when he came in and began to sup with them, he broke bread. And their eyes were open, and they realized it was him. And then he vanished out of their sight. Well, those men, they ran back to tell the others.
Right.
But you see, people's eyes can be shut,
sure,
blinded, until God opens them. And a lot of times, in that case there, what if those men would not have asked him to come in?
Right.
What if they, you know, and as they were running back, they said, "Did not our hearts burn with his as he talked to us along the way?" They didn't realize it was him, but their heart was burning because the words they were speaking of was saying, "Hey, this is what it would be. This is fulfillment of what was said to come." And their hearts began to burn, and they still didn't know it was him.
Right.
But at some point, he opens their eyes when he was breaking bread, like he always does when he breaks the bread of the word. It opens the eyes of people, and they realized it was him. Amen? And so, what if they hadn't have invited it in? He did, for I just went right on, and their eyes would have never been opened.
Right.
See, it matters how you entertain the word.
Yeah.
As it's broke to you. Receive it. Mm-hmm. Take it in. Accept it. Say, "God, my heart burns within me as I'm hearing these words being preached. God, let me just come into my life and abide with me." Mm-hmm. You'll find out. He might open your eyes and let you see more than what you're seeing.
Right.
We see that there in the scriptures. And so, you know, that he appeared, the scriptures said he appeared in a different form, and some of them didn't know him. Even, I think, Mary said, thought he was the gardener until he spoke to her and opened her eyes.
Right.
So Jesus is a master at coming where people can't see him. And some people, and maybe open some of their eyes, and some of them not. We know he does that. So we find out from this, you know, that when people are looking for the wrong thing, they miss it.
Yeah.
You know, there's one place in the scriptures where Jesus said, "Father, I thank you because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent." And if you look at what it is that he was talking about, he was talking about the ministry of John the Baptist. He was talking about the forerunner to him. That forerunner is very important. And he was talking about the forerunner to him. And a lot of people missed it.
Right.
And Jesus said, "Father, I thank you because you hid this from the wise." Right?
Right.
God confounds the wise with his gospel. They call it foolishness.
Yeah.
Right? But to us and to those who believe us, the gospel is the power of God into salvation.
Amen.
And so, you'll find that where he says, "I thank thee, Father, you hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes."
Yeah.
So for some reason, God hides things from wise and prudent people who trust in their wisdom, but he'll reveal it to the simple babes. They're simple. They haven't been filled up with a bunch of nonsense. They're still young. They're still like sponges. You understand? You'll find that in Matthew chapter 11 and Luke chapter 10. So we know in the scriptures that Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Yeah.
And so, you know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He may not be the same in a physical form. He's not here standing among us with a robe on. Right? But Scripture tells us he's among us.
Right.
So when it says he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he is the living Word.
Amen.
He is the Word of God coming to pass.
Yeah.
He is the Word being fulfilled in every day. When he said to Moses, he said, they will say to me, who sent me? Who sent me there? He said, tell them the I am.
Mm-hmm.
Not I was and I will be, but I am.
Right.
He's an eternal being.
Right.
It's an eternal being. He can't say, well, I was or I will be.
Right.
But he's I am. Always, right?
Yeah.
And so we understand that. And so Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the I am.
Mm-hmm.
He's always there. Always fulfilling the Word, because he is the Word coming to pass exactly the way. And so what people should be looking for in this day is what the Word said would come. Jesus coming to pass in exactly the way he said he would. You know, when a man, when God gets a hold of a man, or if God gets a hold of a group of people, it doesn't matter whether it's a man or an entire church or whatever. But when God gets a hold of a man and that man begins to fulfill a word that's been written about that man, that's Jesus Christ on display.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Right. That is Jesus being revealed. Doesn't make that man Jesus Christ, but it's Jesus Christ revealing himself in that man. Jesus Christ desiring and coming down and revealing himself through his body of believers.
Right?
Right? Okay. Coming down and revealing himself. So I'll read a quote out of Spiritual Food in Due Season where we talk about this, and it takes a minute to get there to the point we want to make on this. And he's speaking about where Elijah said to Ahab, thus saith the Lord, there won't be any rain or dew until I call for it. And so the Bible said that there was not even dew for 3 years and 6 months. All the brooks and waters dried up and everywhere. He said that wasn't a man. That was God speaking through that man. That's how it was. We always know. And so we find out that when a man comes, sent of God, ordained of God, with true thus saith the Lord, the message and the messenger are one and the same. For a lot of people, this is something hard to comprehend. A man and his message are one and the same.
Right.
Well, we know the message is the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus said, I forget how he said it exactly. But he's saying that he that sent me, right? He sent me and I'm sending you like he sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the way the prophet said was the God that sent them went in them.
Yeah.
The Father that sent Jesus went in Jesus.
Right.
And then Jesus turned around and sent us and goes in us.
Right?
Right? That's what he's saying there. And so when he commissions you and gives you a message and you go forth with that message, living that message, it's him.
Yeah.
You become the very Word that he's commissioned you with. You become a physical expression of thus said, and so you become the Word made flesh.
Right.
Not born virgin like he was. He was the Word made flesh. But I want you to understand that you don't have to be virgin born to be the Word made flesh.
Right.
If God commissions you with his Word, and it's truly from him, you now are the Word made flesh.
Amen.
Right? Because you're fulfilling his will. And this is what he's talking about here. The message and the messenger are one and the same. Because he's sent to represent, thus saith the Lord, word by word, he and his message are the same. Said a denominational man under a denominational auspice, he and the church is one. The theologian under theology made by some denomination, he and his message are one. Church of theology, a theologian is correctly. said, then when a man comes with thus saith the Lord, he and his message are one. And when Elijah come with thus saith the Lord, he and his message become one. Just as Jesus, when he came, he was the Word, St. John chapter 1. And so the Word of God and the messenger of, so get this, the Word of God and the messenger of the age was the self same thing all the time.
Amen.
It was God manifest in flesh. That part was my phrase. God manifest in flesh. They was one and the same all the time. That's right, Jesus was the Word that was prophesied of. He was what the prophet said would happen. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child. Way back in the beginning, God told and said that the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head, and he'll bruise his heel. All these prophecies have been given. David crying, where he's talking about David crying over Jerusalem, just like Jesus did. All the rest of the prophets down through the ages speaking to him, he was that Word manifest. Hallelujah. Now do you see, Brother Ram saying, now do you see what I'm trying to get at? I spoke pretty plain this morning. Don't you see the authority of the living God in the living church, the bride? The sick are healed, the dead are raised up, the crippled walk, the blind see. The gospel goes forth in its power, for the message and the messenger are the same. The Word is in the church, in the person. That's the phrase I wanted to get to. The Word is in the church, in the person.
Amen.
The person of Jesus. See, now God can do that.
Right?
I can send Brother Daniel to somewhere with a message, or he can send me. And if I send him somewhere with a message, I'm not really going in him.
Right.
He's just taking my... But with God, when he sends you with the message, he goes in you.
Right.
You are him.
Right?
Doesn't make you Jesus Christ, but it makes Jesus Christ revealing himself in you.
Right?
A specific part of this plan that God has, not just drifting along and hoping something happens. No, it's specifically what he wants coming to pass. Amen. He's in the person. We quote this all the time. She is him. Not like him. She is him.
Right.
Like I said, God can do that.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, you know, they were saying, show us the Father. Now catch this. You want to understand God here. Jesus, they said, show us the Father and it will satisfy us. And Jesus said, most of you know this, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Right.
Now, a woman challenged Brother Branham about that one time and said to him, said, well, you and your wife are one. Brother Branham said, yeah, man, husband, wife, they are one. But here's what he said. He said, do you see my wife? Because she wasn't with him right then. He said, do you see my wife? She said, no. He said, then it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Husband and wife are one.
Right.
But Brother Branham could not say, when you see me, you see my wife. But you see, when Jesus said this, Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen the Father.
Right?
Amen. So that's, I think that's wonderful.
Amen.
There's so many people that can't accept that.
Right.
But it's so wonderful to know. Amen. So when God sent him, he goes in. You know, there's really only one truth, right, in the world.
Right.
And that's the Word of God.
Yeah.
The scripture said that God's word be true and every man's word be a lie. And I say it all the time. You probably get tired of hearing me saying it. But if I'm standing here and I'm speaking what his word says, it's not my word, it's his.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's truth. If I'm standing here speaking something different than the word, then it's a lie.
Right.
And it's my word. Mm-hmm. Right? So God's word is the only truth, and anything that doesn't speak what his word speaks is not truth. And the scripture said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you can listen to all man's ideas and everything in the world, and you'll never be free, totally free, until you're listening to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Until the Word is what it speaks. And so, if you want to know Christ, if you want to recognize him in your day, if you want to know what Jesus is doing in this day, right now, he's not here in a robe, as I said a while ago, like he was 2,000 years ago. But he's here. And he's here exactly the way he said he would come. And so if you want to see him and know him, see him at his coming, then you need a revelation of the Word to allow you to see it. The Word has to reveal to you that it's him. Because you don't see him with these eyes. But you can see him with spiritual eyes if God will open your spiritual eyes and the guy next to you doesn't see him. Right? Unless his eyes have been opened. So only the Word can reveal those things to you. So if you don't want to know Christ and what he's doing, if you want to know your day and its message, what God has sent for this day and what he's doing, getting us ready for body change, for rapture, if you want to know who you are, if you want to know who you are and what you're here for, all of these things can only come out of truth, which is the Word. That's the only one. Satan can't tell you who you really are in the family of God. He can't confirm to you that you're a child of God.
Right.
But God can. God does. Out of his own word. So you have to look to him and you have to have revelation to bring these things to you so that you'll know Christ in your day. You'll know what he's doing and you'll know who you are. And you'll know I'm not just here. Trying to believe. I know I'm a child of God because he's revealed that to me.
Right?
Because remember, on Revelation, that's what he builds his church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against that.
Right.
That's spiritual revelation. And of course, to know these things, it only comes by revelation. And of course, with revelation, it means by faith. Right? Because it's revealed to you in a supernatural form, and you have faith and you believe that, but there's nothing tangible so much. There's nothing tangible here that we say, I'm a son of God, or Brother Daniel's a son of God, or you're a daughter of God.
Right.
You don't see it like that.
Sure.
And so if you try to look to science, and you look to your friends, and look to whatever, they can't confirm that to you.
Right.
You know, I've said it before, a young man, he becomes a man through his dad.
Right.
Mama can't do it. A boy becomes a man through a relationship and through some interaction that happens that comes from dad. Because secretly, down inside, whether it's secret or whatever, that boy is looking to his dad. He's looking for recognition in his dad's eyes. And that dad is looking for that son to become that image he should be. And so, if that never happens, that boy will go through his whole life and he'll have things missing and things just won't be exactly right because he's never made it. That's never happened with his dad.
Right.
And that shows you the church can't tell you you're a child of God.
Right.
The female, the wife of Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ has to reveal it to you.
Right.
It only comes that way. And it comes through faith. Mm-hmm. So you have to let the Word tell you who you are. And without spiritual revelation, if you try to keep this word and try to believe and do all these things without revelation, you're just a church.
Yeah.
Because the scripture tells us the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life.
Yeah.
And the spirit will reveal to you, quicken that, and the word will no longer be death to you. It'll no longer be rigorous to try and keep it to you. It'll be a joy to you because it's been quickened to you.
Right.
That you know you're not what you used to be.
Right.
Now, we all make mistakes. We know that. We don't want to. If you want to make mistakes, then there's still something wrong.
Right.
We don't want to do those things, but we do make mistakes.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. We understand that. But revelation will tell you who you are, and you'll know that you're a child of God.
Right.
And so, I've said it several times here recently, and I'm really wanting to, I want to make sure that the Holy Spirit at some point comes back and tells me, you've got this, you understand it, what I'm speaking of. Jesus never did say plainly to them, when they would talk to him, you'll find that there in John chapter 10, verse 24, they came to him and they said, tell us plainly, are you the Son of God? Are you this Messiah? Are you? And he wouldn't tell them like that. Right? Here's what he told them. He said, I've already told you and you don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the very next thing he says, because if you can't believe what I'm telling you, believe the works that I'm doing, for these works that I'm doing testify that I am who I am.
Right.
And you can't believe it.
Yeah.
And so what he's trying to tell them, they're saying, just say it plainly. Say yes to us. I am the Messiah. And here's what I want you to understand. That if a person comes down and says, Malachi, you're a son of God, that won't get it.
Right.
It can't come that way. Right? It has to come by the word unfolding in your midst, and you see it, and you see that that's you. And that's why it's being revealed to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you see that, see that message of your day, and you're just caught up in it. You become that message, and you realize, this is me.
Right?
Right? Yeah. And so Jesus, he's saying, you know, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not going to tell you like that, like you want. I have told you by living in your midst and doing these things in your midst, and you can't respond to it, but I've told you through what's coming to pass who I am.
Right.
See? But like all the rest, you know, here's the Pharisees, Sadducees, and they're calling them devils and everything else. But you have people like the woman at the well that's had been married so many times, a woman caught in adultery and the different things. They saw the same manifestation and said, that's the Messiah. That's my Savior. But the priesthood said, he's a devil. Right? What was he doing? He was appearing to some and not others.
Right?
Right? And that's what he does. And so, he's like, I told you. They could have said, when did you tell us that? Right? But what he's saying is, I told you by living in front of you what was prophesied to come is happening in your day, and that's the only way you can come to a birth is to recognize what's coming to pass in your day. Right? Not just because somebody said, come put your name on a book or just start going to church or something.
Right. Right.
There has to be something happen inside. The scriptures call it a new birth.
Yeah.
Right? That something come, some old person, the old man, his desire, something dies there and it's replaced with something that desires righteousness.
Yeah.
A birth, a new birth. And that's the spirit of Christ who cannot live contrary to his word.
Right.
But quickens his word in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, he said, but you believe not the works that I am doing to prove who I am. See, the only way to see and to know is by what's going on right now, happening in your day. The I am in our midst. So we know we should pray for revelation. Because that's the only way we can, that's the only way it can be.
Right.
Is a revelation. Without it, we're just a church. But with it, don't miss this part. With that revelation, we become the revealing of him in his coming right now. Because it's him doing it.
Yeah.
We can't do these things. We can't. It doesn't lie within man. We, in ourselves, we are dead.
Right.
But if he who is the resurrection, that he rose on that day so many years ago, and he's resurrecting every day, he's showing, coming from dead to life every day in our lives, because he's quickening us from death to life. A person who's dead can't raise themselves up again except him.
Right?
Right? I say all the time, a man that's in jail, you can holler at him, get yourself out of jail. Okay? He can't do it. You can go out here to the graveyard and scream all day long, get out of those graves, and they can't do it.
Right.
But brother, sister, no matter what dead condition they're in, if the word of life, if the resurrection and life speaks to them, then they can come up. It only comes from him.
Amen.
And so you can't live a Christian life unless it's him in you doing it.
Right.
And if he's in you and has changed you, then you've got quickening power in you. You've got the resurrection already in you. That's why when Brother Rem said that, he said, that same voice that said to you, stop sinning and turn around and serve me, that's the same voice that'll change your body.
Yeah.
Right.
It'll quicken you. It's already working in you. Now, if he doesn't have enough power in your life to stop you from living a wicked life, then I doubt that you've got that. Because quickening power, the life of Christ, when it comes in, he declares himself. Right? He declares himself. Like Brother Brandon said, if he took the life of Beethoven and put it in you, you start composing music. Because that's the life that's in you. If you take the life of Jesus Christ and put it in someone, they start doing what he does.
Amen.
They start acting like he does.
Right.
And so what is he? He's always the word, fulfilling for the very hour. And so then we become, because he's now in us, we become the fulfillment of the word for the hour.
Right.
Amen. And so it's a secret coming.
Yeah.
People don't realize that they rub shoulders with Jesus Christ,
sure.
Right, being manifest. And so we also understand that this second coming, that's a mystery, it only comes to his bride,
right.
To the bride of Christ, because that's what he's come for,
mm-hmm.
To come and take her to the marriage supper.
Amen.
Right, that's who he comes to get her to go to the marriage supper. He's not coming for the 144,000 Jews, right, they're not bride, they're servants. But he's coming for bride, and so the bride is the only one that catches him at his coming, because that's who he's coming for.
Right.
Right? Amen. You know, the forerunner, I said a while ago, you know, they missed the forerunner. The forerunner to Christ 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist, they missed him too. And we can see very plainly in Scripture when Jesus... They came to him and asked him, well, what power and authority do you do these things? He said, well, here's another case where he didn't answer them directly. By what power and authority do you do these things? He said, well, let me ask you a question. The baptism of John, was it of God or of man? And these Pharisee religious leaders, they get over to the side and they said, you know what? If we answer this question and we tell him it was of man, well, we're going to get stoned by the people, because the people believe that John was a prophet. They believe. And so if we say it was a man, we can get in trouble doing that. And so they said, we can't say that. But even if we say, well, it was of God, then Jesus is going to say, well, then why didn't you hear it?
Yeah.
Right.
See, they didn't accept John either.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right. And so you realize that the forerunner had to come mysteriously, and most missed it. And then the one he foreran comes, and most miss it. And it's happening the same today.
Sure.
Right.
Right? Same today. Because if they would have caught John, then they would have seen Jesus. They would have had to listen to what John said. And so they had to ignore what John said in order to ignore Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. As I said, he is the resurrection and the life. And if we want to live, then we have to have his life in us.
Amen.
Not some other life, not denominational life, not church life, but the resurrection of the life. You see, like I said, the Old Testament, they had the word had been given, and Jesus said to them, he said, if you would have believed Moses or Abraham, you know, Abraham looked for my day. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he spoke of me.
Right.
So Jesus was telling them, you're here and you're all about your traditions and you're all about this denomination you've built up, this prestige among yourself. That's what you're all about. And you've totally missed what Moses was saying.
Right.
Because if you were listening to what Moses said, then you'd recognize I am the fulfillment of what he said to come.
Yeah.
See? And it's the same thing today, that throughout these 2,000 years, man has got to where denominations mean more to them than anything else. You ask somebody if they're a Christian, and their response is, I'm Baptist. I'm Methodist. That's not the question.
Right.
The question is, are you born again? Does the Spirit of Jesus Christ live in you? Has something changed you from a life of sin to a life desiring righteousness to reign in your life? But you ask people, and when you talk to them, they don't present the word. They present what their church theories are and their church, what they teach. You see, and they have drifted so far that now here he is appearing in this day doing exactly what, and we love his appearing, but the world has missed it.
Yeah.
They miss the forerunner, and they miss the fruits of what it is that's on, at hand going on right now in the midst of a bride. They miss that. And we have no, we have nothing we can boast in ourselves as beneficiaries of, because you know, Lazarus was laying in the grave and he was dead.
Right.
And do you think Lazarus could have brought himself out? No. But a voice spoke. And I love it. You've heard it said before. Jesus standing there in the midst of that graveyard, he had to say, Lazarus, come forth, because if he would have just said, come forth, they all would have come up.
Right.
Because he is the resurrection. He is a, see, and that's, so it's, this is what we have to understand. We must hear him call us.
Amen.
Come forth. And so, throughout the ages, man got dead in denominations, and here it comes to our day, and we're living this hour, and it's right at the time where the Lord should be coming to take his bride away, and everybody's wrapped up in denominational stuff so much that if you see in the scriptures, Jesus is standing on the outside of the church knocking, trying to get back in. Now, they preach every Sunday about him 2,000 years ago, but what is outside of the church is the vindicated present-day word is what's missing. So Jesus Christ is outside the church, not even in there, and he's preaching a message, knocking on the door. He's saying, come in, let me come in, and I'll sup with you, just like he did with those Emmaus when they went in. It's what he's saying. And so the religious world was dead. And we here we are. We were in that. And we didn't have the ability to come along and say, you know, I'm going to ditch all this denominational teaching. We didn't even realize it was denominational teachings. We didn't go, I'm going to take a new thought today, and now I'm going to come forth in a resurrection out of dead denominational teaching. Because see, if you don't believe the right thing, you won't come up anyway. That's why we call it dead denominational teaching. Because if he's put outside the church, then the resurrection of life is not in there, and if you're in that system, you'll never come up.
Right.
That's why it said in the last days, there, read it in Revelations, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A message to come. What? Because it was dead. And it's the same thing as what happened with Lazarus. Here we are, we were there, and we were dead, but we heard a voice.
Yeah.
The voice of the resurrection spoke and brought us out from that kind of bondage and that kind of teaching into the living word again. That's why Brother Brim said, what a resurrection that was when Jesus came out of the grave 2,000 years ago. But what a resurrection this is right now to be alive. And to be alive means that you're not in a grave somewhere.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You're not in a grave. There's not some stone rolled over to keep you in. That's what they tried to do. They tried to keep him in. And they couldn't. And Satan desires to keep people in. All these denominational dead teachings that mean nothing, that God is, that can't resurrect. And yet he come along and with his voice roll the stone away, call people forth. You know, Lazarus come out. Right? I don't know how he did it, but he come out, but he had grave clothes on. Jesus said, loose him.
Yeah.
Right? Loose him.
Mm-hmm.
Let him go.
Right.
Because grave clothes are not fitting for a person who's walking around.
Sure.
That's living.
Right.
Grave clothes are only fitting, they're only fitting for someone who's dead.
Right.
Right? You know, when they come there and said, Jesus was resurrected, and I think the angel said, why are you here seeking the living among the dead? This is silly. You don't find living people in graves. You find dead people in graves. And I'm going to be plain with you, denominational graves, churches. Why? If they don't have the resurrection and life in them, they're dead.
Right.
And why would you think you could go there and find resurrected life there if it's a grave, it's a dead system? You've got to go to the life to find it, right?
Amen.
And so even in this day, God has called a people out. Come out of the, and we've been resurrected, but a lot of us still walk around with grave clothes on. And brother, sister, we've got a message.
Amen.
We are free.
Amen.
We're not dead any longer. We're not being bound. We've heard the truth, and the truth has made us free. We're not bound anymore with those things. We're free. We can move freely. We're not how, you understand? That we can believe and pray and God work among us with healing and signs and wonders. We're free.
Amen.
Because life is here among His people. We're not dead any longer. Amen. And that's why I said we can't rejoice in anything, because we couldn't have said, "Oh, I'm going to change what I think today." No, we had to hear a message that come from God. Same way it did all through the scriptures. Why would it be different now?
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But people don't want it because it messes with their system. Amen?
Right.
We don't want to seek the dead among the living, and we don't want to seek the living among the dead.
Uh-huh.
Right? I don't expect to come here to this house of God. I'm coming to the house of God under a message to a place where the living are. We don't want to come here and find dead people. We want to find people who are alive, right? We want to preach the gospel so you can hear this voice and come alive.
Amen.
Come alive, those dry bones. We should sing that sometime. Right? I love it. Those dry bones. What? God will speak. Bring them forth. Come alive. Become an army. Right? For many years now, Satan's tried to stop us. Right? I don't agree with that song when it says, like the mighty army.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should say, we are
right.
A mighty army.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Get caught up in what God is doing. And so you have to hear the voice of the resurrection to speak to you. And when you know that you're not in a grave anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can't tell you. I can't tell you when this happens, then you'll know. All I can tell you is that when it happens, you'll know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right? But don't stop until you know. And even then, you're not going to stop, because once you know, then you're definitely not going to stop, right? Because you're alive.
Amen.
Right? And so once you've got a new birth, that new birth is eternal life. You'll never die.
Amen.
Because it's eternal life.
That's right.
Death, the flesh might go by way of the grave, but you're alive. Paul and Silas sit there in that dungeon, right? They're all tied up and probably rats running around them and all that. That was death. They're all around them, but they were alive.
Sure.
Begin to sing praises,
amen.
Right? Did you know God inhabits the praises of His people?
Sure.
Right? So enter into His courts with praise,
mm-hmm.
with gladness, with worship, right? Because we're alive. We're not dead. Satan wants you to think, well, okay, yeah, you've heard a message, you've come out of the denominational system, but he wants you to think you have to stand there with those grave clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Right.
Because the same voice that said, Lazarus, come forth, said, loose him.
Right.
And that same word will tell you, looser, get this off of you so you can move around freely.
Yes.
But I will tell you something. In this kind of life I'm talking about, the powers out there that want to destroy Jesus Christ wanted to destroy Lazarus too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because people were believing on Jesus Christ because of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And the life that I'm talking about us living today will be persecuted because it's going to cause people to believe on
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ and the message He's brought in this hour to bring us out of the graves. And so we must hear His name. And now I'm going to shift here. This is the last point. Okay? We must hear His voice call our name.
Mm-hmm.
And that seven-sealed book had the names of the redeemed on it. And that seven-sealed book was opened by the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
So that the contents, listen, God wrote that book.
Right.
God knows what's on that book. He's not senile. He doesn't have to open. Let me see what I think I forgot what I wrote in there. God doesn't forget what he wrote in there. He knows what he wrote. That opening of that book is for you and I. But he's not, it's not calling your name as in the pronunciation of Malachi or Daniel or Vicky or Tim or whoever. It's not that. But it's the revealing of the life in your day. And when you see that life, as I said a while ago, when you see that and you believe it, you catch it, you become that. So he's calling your name just simply by revealing the word of your day, and you catch it.
Amen.
That brings you out of denominational teaching and denominational grave clothes and makes you alive.
Yeah.
Quickening power already in you.
Right?
Yeah. Already there, working in you. Now you've got to believe that that quickening power, it's not just in your soul, inside your spirit. That quickening power is upon this record.
Yeah.
That's right. It's upon, in other words, I mean, there's nothing good to this.
Sure.
But because the plan of redemption has brought these things to us, because quickening power has come in us, we are, by the same belief, we are to believe that the same God can take these filthy hands, can lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Quickening power through our lives. Don't and listen. You say, "Praise God, I'm alive, I'm alive." But you're not believing in praying with the sick, laying on the hand, not believing. You got grave clothes on still.
Yeah.
If we have the Spirit of Christ in us, we're going to be doing what He does. We're going to be like Him.
Amen.
Right? Which means we're not bound. We're going to be moving, rejoicing, having a testimony that the world don't like. Right? Just like it was with that.
Sure.
And so, amen. We become the manifested word for the hour when we see it and we believe it. We hear it. We're converted. We're healed. We become that manifestation. We become the present day manifestation, the secret appearing or coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take His bride home. It ends up, that quickening power ends up in changing our lives.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you as the musicians come. I am so glad that God's word is not silent. I heard Brother Ram talking about it. He said, you know, you go places, and he said, you'll go into churches sometime, and he said, the pastor will be fumbling around trying to find something to say. And he said, next thing you know, he'll get off onto some plan or some denominational something that they've got. I'm so glad that the Word of God still speaks.
Amen.
It still speaks current day revelation into the hearts of His people. Amen. I'm not responsible with how it's received, but I am responsible to share it and tell it, you know, as a minister of the gospel. And I trust that Brother Daniel and I both, I have never tried to hold something back. Amen. And I'm nothing. I'm just somebody called of God, right, to minister the word. Amen. So let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we so thank You, Lord, for all that You've done in bringing forth this word in this hour to Your people. And I trust, Lord, that it's the same with them as it is with me. This word is becoming so plain, so clear. Lord Jesus, I pray that it be the same for them. God, that any doubt that's left is just melting away, and we're becoming fully concerned, fully aware of this call that's on our lives and what we really are present day now in this age we live in. I pray, God, that You just help us to come into that place. If there's revelation lacking, if there's obedience lacking in our lives, I pray, God, that all those things will be dealt with by Your Holy Spirit, by Your Word, that we would come to a place in our walk, Lord, where we can fully manifest in flesh this gospel message. We believe it's there for us. We believe it moving in this earth, Lord, and we're just asking, God, that You visit this little assembly, that You would do the same thing through us, Lord. Not that we can have a big name. We do not desire that. We just simply desire, Lord, to see You glorified. We just want to see someone else eyes begin to sparkle as they see your glorious presence in the midst of your church. Lord, we thank you because you are in our midst, living in us in the person of your word. We're asking, God, that you'd live in us to the full extent. We ask it in Jesus' name.